Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my Dog Psychology Radio Show. My name is Dale McCluskey, and I'd like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be continuing my discussion regarding why the dog training world is in such a mess. This is part four of this series of shows regarding this issue. And basically, what I'm doing is getting very specific. I'm, you know, explaining the real issue here for people to give them a, you know, connect that final dot, help them connect the dot, which really goes into understanding why it is that appearances are very deceiving. And if you're just looking at the script itself, if you're looking at how, you know, dogs go through the motions or how things appear from the surface with the typical, you know, obedience script using, say, treats and clickers, and the dog's doing, you know, the sit, down, come, and stay, how it is that that can be a counterfeit picture of change. And even beyond that, to ask the question, you know, what's the end game? I mean, really, what's that even doing? Okay, I mean, if you're, you know, when I'm approaching training as a relational changing process, you know, I'm using that certain position and interaction next to the owner, but as a staging area, as a relational changing area to bring the script together. So it's not, you know, it's not the same. It's not, you know, how you're approaching or how I'm approaching training. I'm looking through a different lens. So I'm not, even when, you know, people get into this thing about trying to, and I know a lot of trainers talk about this, conditioning in certain responses such as sit, down, come, and stay. There's still, a lot of them are still not really getting it. They're still looking at that picture of that position, whatever position the dog is going into, and making assumptions on, you know, what that is. But, you know, what makes this system of training very, very special and very, very unique and truly one of a kind is the ability to go deeper than that and ask the question, you know, what is motivating response? You know, what type of motives underpin it? And so the example I'll use is if you want to see this relational script in process, you say doing the down position, okay, with your dog, putting your dog into the down, or looking at the picture of the down. So, you know, as like a lot of trainers will do, to get a dog to do a down, they'll use something to influence a dog's decision-making process. They'll use a treat to get the dog to shape the down or to get the dog to go into the down position. However, okay, if you have that treat in your hand, okay, and you suddenly remove the treat or just simply don't use the treat and start to assert influence, and this is the thing to understand about communication, because I'm going to talk about this on the shows about the intent on a couple of different levels here as to how dogs communicate and what our goals are with creating meaningful change, how this is filtering through relationally at the nature level. And because this is a real big point, when people look at, you know, why I don't use commands for a couple of weeks, that really blows people away. But again, this is about going deeper here and saying, okay, what is the intent? And besides that, how we're communicating with the dog, with them understanding, okay, through how we communicate through the scripting of influence, of them knowing the intent or knowing where how the picture's being painted and what we're doing within the script of relation of how they connect relationally. So therefore, when you change the script, when you start to say push on the dog's back to communicate the down position. Now, when I say push, again, I want to qualify that. It's not about pushing with physical force the way most people think of it. It's not about that. It's about what's within the context of what's reasonable. So I'll talk about it, you know, I'll talk about this on some future shows here. I'll get deeper into this. But we talk about, you know, making the distinction between corrective and relational influence, you know, there is a distinction, okay, and it falls in line with this issue of communication and what we're really doing. And so getting back to pushing on the dog's back to the down, what you'll see is suddenly the dog is going to resist. whereas the dog went right into the down position for the treat, or if you've used the treats enough, for the expectation, okay, of the treat. So the dog's into a state of wanting, desiring. But relationally, what's happening is you're working outside the parameters of the person changing, okay? You're just using something to influence the path of the dog's mind takes, but you're getting the picture, okay? You're getting the response that you want, but then you're making an assumption that that's based on something meaningful. And oftentimes, it isn't. Even when the treats go away, you've built the bridge that way at the associative level, it does not represent that change is happening. And the ability to, if it is happening, okay, is the ability to step back even further and then look at kind of like getting a three-dimensional view and putting response into context. Trainers can't do that, aren't doing that, okay, because of how they're introducing these concepts and using these agents. And again, going back to my example, pushing on the dog's back, and suddenly you're getting resistance, okay, you're like, wow. I mean, suddenly the dog isn't going to go into the down, okay, because you're changing, the script is changing, the relational script. So this is the point. And just think about what I'm saying. If you see a dog will go into the down for you based on what they want, it's just like the narcissistic person in the human world, the narcissistic or selfish child. You can incentivize them to do whatever and even calm the physical water, so to speak. They're having a fit, so you give them some, but are you truly creating parental influence? You know, that's the question. So it falls in very similar paths here when people want to understand why it is that learning theory breaks down for people. Okay, because their dogs are more than that. That's the thing to understand. Nature's more than that. So just think about what, you know, that example, and I'll get into this more on future shows, but this system of training, it's very technical. I mean, technical in the way of identifying the real problem. So, you know, this whole issue about, you know, defining, you know, what is training? You know, I say, well, it's not a learning-based exercise because, again, you're shifting the focus, you know, onto the dog. You know, even when people say they want to reward the dog for doing something good, I say, don't do that, and there's a couple reasons for that, because number one is, you know, again, you may not be there yet, okay, in terms of how the script is changing, in terms of the motives themselves are changing, in terms of why the reasons why the dogs do the things they do, and again, about the person changing relationally, it's about packaging. So people's minds, what happened is, it's about, you know, it's more than just the fact about petting, it's about the big picture. It's about understanding this relational issue and how dogs see us through nature that way, the type of connection. So it's all about how people think. And so you have to promote change. You have to get people to think different. And that's, again, that can be a very tall order. I understand that it can be, but that's what it is anyway. Okay, this is the thing about this, what I say. This isn't about Dale McCluskey saying these things and Dale's inventing his own. No, I mean, I'm just pointing towards nature and saying, well, this is what nature is. And if you think that somehow you're getting out from underneath bringing dogs under authority and leadership and all these other ideas you have about what that even means to you, you're deceiving yourself. And then the behavior issues aren't going away. Well, that's not the dog's fault. I mean, that's not some accident or coincidence or something wrong with the dog, like some genetic problem. No, there's a problem with the ideology implied. It's a problem with this idea that change happens outside defining what it really is. It's a relational changing process. So people can try to define it any way they want, but one thing is guaranteed, you can't escape the truth. I mean, the truth is, the amazing thing about the truth is, it's always going to be exactly where you left it, okay? It's not going anywhere. So this is why what I say is such a stumbling stone for the majority of people, because it's the truth. So just when people, you know, people understand, you know, how I approach training, I'm going to approach it for what it is. I mean, this is going to, you know, offer up difficulties for, say, me wanting to be, you know, probably as successful as I want to be, or as well liked as I want to be. And this is the problem where people just want to be liked all the time. It's not about that. It's about the truth. And you can, don't get me wrong, you can word things a certain way, and you can. Then that's what I do when I help people. It's not about making people feel badly and being negative that way. And people come to me for help. They've already come to the end of themselves. Okay, they're already ready for help. So there's no need of me to try to break anything down and come off a certain way. I mean that's for these shows. Okay, I'm putting the information out because a lot of this is getting it out there so people can make a informed decision and offer up a standard, okay? And this is what this is about, is raising up a standard to say to stand against this wave or tide of foolishness, basically is what it is, and getting people to understand that, you know, there's a major problem in the dog training world, and I'm not, you know, it's not because of what I'm saying. It's there anyway. But I'm pinning down the real problem. Okay, I'm actually, you know, the problem here is so many people are getting away with these dog behaviorists and all these, positive reward-based people, which is just a totally false narrative anyway, getting away with promoting this stuff and saying the things they're saying and then trying to call or package this up as real science. I'm saying it's a total fraud. I mean, it's an absolute nightmare, and I'm doing is identifying the real problem, and of course, you know, even balance trainers are not going to like what I'm saying, because what I'm saying here is saying, well, you're actually not identifying it either. Okay, you're still you're walking the fence. I mean, you're trying to basically, you guess you want to be liked by everybody, or you want to be everything to everyone. And you can't be that, okay? I mean, and this is the thing, once you truly understand the problem, well, there's a problem even in that. I mean, because there's, and again, this is another really important thing to understand. If you accept what I'm saying, okay, if you look at what I show regarding learning in the scripting problem and this issue with response, it forces your hand, it forces a trade-off, okay? You cannot do training the way that you did before. If you truly see this problem, you have to close the door on treating training or approaching training as a learning-based exercise. Okay, if you truly understand it, that's what will happen. And if that happens, then there's going to be a trade-off, right? You can't do things the way you did. And think of the problem that creates in, you know, and I talked about this on yesterday's show, but this study I put out, involving over 1,000 dogs and owners, and why it is that I put the study out with absolutely no intention of thinking for a second that it would be accepted, or me trying to credential myself through the so-called science of dog training. That was never my intention. I mean, I already knew the problem before I even started the study. I mean, it wasn't done for that. It was to identify the problem. In fact, I know very clearly where all this puts me, and I'm fine with it. You know, whether I get one session a week or 10 sessions a week, or understand this, whether I have 130 likes right now on my Facebook page or 1 million, it doesn't matter so long as I'm, you know, it's about the truth. So whether people like me, I'd rather have 130 people like my page because I'm standing on the truth than 150,000 based on the lie. I mean, that's just how things are right now. So, you know, social media and all these things about promoting it that way, it's a major problem. I don't. This is why in person, okay, when you're dealing with, or even I meet up with, say some of these clicker and food trainers in person, that ever happens, it's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you get into the real world setting with these people, with real dogs with real issues. I mean, it all falls apart so fast for them because they can't. They can't hide behind PowerPoint presentations. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, it's an absolute joke. There's no transparency. I don't care what they say. This is why they're so frustrated and angry and want to legislate this stuff, because they have to force it down the throats of people, because you have something to understand. The universe isn't designed that way. Nature, they're at war with nature. They're not at war with me. I mean, people can be as mad as they want about what I have to say, but I'm just showing them. I'm laying it out there. I'm saying, here it is. So it's really understanding that, that's what's going on. And so getting into this thing, I want to talk a little bit a little bit about this and say, show about credentials, okay? This is why when you look at the issue of education, you look at those who promote the so-called science of God training as real science, which it isn't, you're getting people, say, with, say, doctorate degrees, guys like Ian Dunbar, you know, there's Dr. Rise Van Fleet. He got very upset with me one time because I went into, this is when I got banned from Dog Star Daily for asking some specific questions. But this is the thing. You know, when you look at, and I call this fringe science, okay? I mean, I talk to real, what I would consider to be real science-based people. And they think this is a complete joke. They don't even want to talk about it, basically. This is a fringe. This is a fringe science. It's not supported by real scientists. They're too busy on real science. So they're not interested in this stuff. I mean, they're not looking to implode it. They aren't going to waste their time. So the people who are packaging this up as real science, it's a fringe. It's fringe. It's not, you know, you love to think about learning theory. This is why if it's real science, the people that are involved would have no problem at all, you know, self-auditing and putting it to the test. That's the thing. It's not happening. It's built off Skinner and Pavlov's, you know, off behavioralism. But if you go into my book, because I spent some time back, 4 years ago now, and when I wrote my book called The Mind and Body Connection, and the book's still available. You can go on Amazon, Kindle. It's available on my website. But I get into the so-called science of dog training, and I just put out a little part of my book available on the website today. You just talk about called the academic divide. And basically what I'm doing is showing that, you know, people who are promoting this as science, I mean, they're contradicting themselves at so many levels. Even when they talk about physical force and the dominance issue, if you ask any one of them what does that really mean, you'll get 10 different answers. Okay, they're all over the place because they're not looking at dogs as relational beings at all. They're totally rejecting it. Even when you look at the things they say about dogs not being pack animals. I mean, ask yourself the question, why are they saying things like that? Because they know it presents a problem to them. If dogs are seen as pack animals and how their decision-making process is influenced at that level, it's problematic, okay, because it shifts the focus. And this is why I say that's what they are. I mean, they'll say that they form loose groups and all this stuff. But here's the thing. Nature doesn't reveal itself that way from standing back and looking at the way Dr. David Mech did at the physical level, looking to try to define what dominance is in the physical interaction of wolves. They communicate at a much at a deeper level than that. There's indicators that you can how they communicate. And I reference that. My course I just put out on my website. It's called Introduction to the Relational Model. You'll find it on my website. I have really in-depth information. There's videos put out. It's packaged up, so it's a certification course. But if you're interested in really going deep in some of the stuff, you know, I take my time. I go through it all, and I really I really lift the curtain on, even with social hierarchy, what that is, to help people understand this issue of communication. So you can check that out. My book, too, it's available again. I put in someone where my study is in it, and I break this stuff down. And, again, getting back to the academic side of things, this is where the public, you know, has put trust in. You know, there's a certain amount of trust that's automatic, that's kind of take, and it's being taken for granted, or taken advantage of, basically, by this group because the first thing they do is they'll put their credentials out, okay? They'll say they're members of this, they're members of that, now they have this education level and all this stuff. It's absolutely meaningless if what you're promoting, the tenet of it, is flawed, okay? That's the thing people have to understand. This is why, again, probably why the dog training world is in such a mess. You can't look at credentials that way in the dog training world, because the very people who are promoting them or using them that way are the ones who are totally on the opposite end of what training really is to begin with. I mean, they're the ones putting most people, the majority of people, at the greatest risk of this scripting problem based on the fact they're treating training, they're pivoting off this learning-based ideology, but they're treating training as purely a learning-based exercise. And again, relational changing process, it's happening regardless of whatever you think that it is, okay? It's happening. So everything funnels through that way. So, you know, those who are trying to promote it as a learning-based exercise, so those who call themselves behavioralists, and I put a video out about this, that word, I mean, the whole dictionary on dog training needs to be redefined. I mean, those who call themselves behavioralists as some sort of an expert, you know, it's not, it's a joke. I mean, they're expert at what? I mean, if the if the tenet's flawed, it's meaningless. This is why, you know, I mean, my credentials, I do not talk about, you know, my credentials like that. I mean, they're on my website. I don't put a lot of stock in them. All I can say is I know what I'm talking about. I've written books. I've trained lots of dogs. But I don't, you know, my thing is, you know, either you know what you're talking about or you don't. I mean, either you approach dogs as relational beings they are or you're not. So there's a fault line running right down through this. And so that's why I say a lot of these organizations, even the so-called balance organizations, Association of Pet Professionals, you go on through the list, it's a total waste of time. You know, it is. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's just like a way for people to get together and talk about what. Because here's my point. I put a video about this, too. I'll never be asked to speak at a dog training conference ever. I might at some point. Don't get me wrong. And I will. Because I'm going to talk about this issue of what training really is. And it's going to rub everybody basically the wrong way because, I mean, the majority of trainers are at some level coming into agreement with the problem. So yeah, I won't be a popular guy for a while, but again, you know, it's no accident why the dog training world, why there's so much divisiveness, debate, dissension. So this is, I could disappear tomorrow, okay, and this is still going to go on. That's something people have to understand. I'm just putting the information out. So, you know, so people can understand what the real problem is so we can actually make some changes to actually make a real difference. And that's the point here is about making a real difference and identifying what the real problem is. But the problem is, the other problem is society's not, people's attitudes, they're not ready for that because it's just a focus on to them to change. Okay, it's a people problem. Training is a people problem. And people don't want that. They want to be able to think however they want to think and have their cake and eat it too, okay, and not take ownership, not take responsibility. In fact, that behavior is the causation of behavior problems circles back to the owner not coming in the right relationship because that's ultimately what's going on. And people would rather medicate or get rid of their dog before they'll change the focus that way. I mean, that's just the reality. So we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a fallen thinking. And again, I'll use this word. I'll talk about this on some future shows here about idolatry. But that's really to simplify. That's what's going on. It's not a good thing happening. But getting back to credentials, yeah, I mean, it's a joke. When someone's putting their credentials out, calling themselves a behaviorist, run the other way. I mean, find a trainer who advocates leadership. And then, you know, I mean, that's the first thing. You talk about the specifics of, you know, from there as to the actual method itself, and I'll talk about that on my future shows coming up about why that matters as well, I mean, relationally. I mean, it's everything has meaning in it, so it's important that everything comes together a certain way. But again, I encourage you to check out my website. I have lots of great information, www.caninepack.com. Lots of really good videos. Go on my YouTube channel, just type my name in. My YouTube channel will come up. Subscribe to it. I mean, I get new videos coming out. I get articles coming out all the time. Subscribe to my website. I use WordPress, so it's like a blog all in one. Just hit the follow button. That way you can get notifications. I put out a new article or video. That way you get lots of great information. Also, subscribe to Blog Talk Radio. You can follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Just hit the follow button. Go in, and that way my new shows come out. And I'm going to be putting out lots of shows. This is going to be a consistent thing. So that way, you know, people can follow what I'm doing, and you know, I can get into all these different issues. And again, and this is the thing to understand. There's trainers out there that are doing it right. In fact, I have one coming on my show, November 30th, Robert Masters. I encourage you to tune in for that show. He's out of Kansas City, and he's involved in animal rescue as well. And so, you know, it's important to recognize people who are doing it right, because there are people, you know, I'm not alone. I mean, I'm pretty confident that there's not too many people, I don't know anyone who's pinning down this issue the way I am, but there's definitely lots of trainers who know there's a problem, and they're trying their very best to make a real difference. And so, you know, that's what matters. And my hope is, you know, as I put this information out, more people, you know, will start to see it. I mean, start seeing what I see and start to really advocate training for what it is. Because, you know, real change starts with one person. I mean, it takes people, and it takes people getting informed, because what I have to show is meant to empower people. You know, show people, you know, here's what's happening anyway, whether, you know, people see it or not, and then people can see it. I mean, you're going to, through my shows and through my videos, through my articles, you're going to get to a level to really be able to see things other people don't see. I mean, you'll walk into a situation and say, man, I see that. It's totally upside down. It's not what it appears to be. I mean, that's an amazing thing. So really how I see things here is, like, if you really want to go to the next level, I mean, this is the path to do it. You know, you'll even get to a level to be able to say, well, what represents control or change in certain devices and everything else. I mean, it's really amazing. And it really allows you to save time, too, so you're not wasting your time. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're looking through the relational lens and you're able to connect all these dots, you can fix any dog. I mean, that's the really just good news here, is that you're not limited. You're going to do things other people can't. And it doesn't matter what they say on social media or whatever little narrative they want to put out, you can blow right through it. I mean, that's the thing. When I go out and help people, I'm not just talking. You know, I'm talking for a few minutes, but I'm getting up and I'm showing them I'm doing it. And they're like, wow, you know, I see it. I mean, there's nothing better than actually seeing it. Because seeing is believing. You know, seeing is believing. So you see it. You know, and that's the thing, being able to know, and that's the other thing, giving people the best chance. Because ultimately, you know, having the right information allows you to have the best hope. And even when you're using, say, a structure, you know, allowing everything to work for you so you're able to get to where you need to go without the stress involved on both you and the dog. So being able to get that level. So anyway, you can check out my website. Lots of great videos. They have courses now offered. They're online courses for the people that want to take this system and apply it into the real-world setting. So I've got courses on there available as well. I have books, Beyond the Leash, Dog Psychology Training Guide. That's a great book. It's my main method book. It's available on Amazon Kindle and on my website. Also, Mind and Body Kinetics. It's a follow-up to Beyond the Leash. It's more kind of like going behind the scenes, so you can understand, well, why is it that Dale doesn't use treats? I talk about that, I go in. So those are really great books. Encourage you to check them out. And they have video links, too. So when you do your reading, you just click on the link, and you're going to get a video that that isn't available for you on my website, but there's video links on my books that's going to give you the technical side of things, too. So, you know, it's going to be very helpful. So you can check out my books. If you're looking for help with your dog, lots of great options on the website, and they're there to help you. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. I encourage you to check out my next show. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great day.